call a meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay Community Services District order. Invite you to join me in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present with the exception of Director Pease and Director Steele.
Thank you. Time for public comments. Any item that's not on the agenda tonight? Want to do it under the...
Where do you want me to do it?
Hold on just a second. Yeah, I'll get you. Any other public comment on items not on the agenda? Then moving to the consent calendar, I know someone wants to speak on item 5 and item number 6. Mr. Mulder.
On item 5, the provision regarding the lessee to repair and maintenance obligations, I didn't see anywhere in there where there was any estimate of what that was going to cost. So what is the rent really going to be? It almost looks like a triple net lease instead of a...
It is a triple net.
So you pay everything else.
I just thought... I invite you to take a tour over there and see what we're trying to work on.
Well, I'm sure of that, but it seems like you're also, you're standing up and saying, okay, we're going to fix everything and put it on our next... So I thought...
To our needs.
Okay. This wasn't in the lease, there is no profit.
Getting on item number 6, though?
Yes. You're extending the contract for your consulting engineering firm. I'm questioning the additional $182,000 that is related to the water meter project. It says it's for assistance through task 16A through 16B, as listed in the bid. This seems like it's just another add-on to this water meter installation. At some point, enough's enough. I think the last year, the fiscal year, you spent $200,000 of it. I think it really needs to be reconsidered to see whether it's really necessary. It just adds on to the cost that you're going to pass along to all these Discovery Bay residents.
Thank you.
Move approval of the consent calendar.
Second?
I second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. Moving on to area agency reports. NC Fire area. Monthly Veolia report.
For month of May, staff attended the state work habits, which is great. Same topics, stress heat, and which is coming in handy right now. Heat stress.
Have you altered your schedule at all? You really can't do that over there, can you? Could you alter your schedule for any of your workload based on the heat?
We're working 6 to 2:30 this week.
Great.
All monthly reports are submitted to the state. If you notice, I kind of changed up the report a little bit. All wells are active. Well, fire is just a standby. We did 5 million gallons of water in May, which is almost double from April. All vaccines on the distribution were negative. You can see here on the graph that we're still well below our number 13, which is the benchmark for water production. For a reduction, and we were about 27% reduction from 2013.
Go back a slide, please. Is that typical? That's going to happen. It's going to increase all the way through the summer, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
So that's not an anomaly. That's pretty standard.
It's from last year. Last year we had about 88 million gallons. It is up higher this year.
Okay.
And it will continue to go because the restrictions have been lifted.
Okay.
And you can see the reduction. Like I said, we're still at 27% for the month.
That ratio hasn't changed that much, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You can see our chlorine usage is up and shot up to 6,000. More water use, more chlorine use. Wastewater still running very well, well below our parameters. Plant running beautifully. No violations. lift stations are running. You can see here a note is where we received 37 million gallons of wastewater. We pumped out 105 million gallons, so almost 80 million gallons is going out either landscaping or car washing or somewhere. We haven't started our collection for the year. On our work orders, staff is still doing a great job on maintaining backlog. We're down less than three, I think, on backlog over 30 days. And no fire emergency call out. Things are going very well.
Any questions for Bernie?
No, good job.
No, thanks, Bernie.
Thank you, Bernie.
Appreciate that.
Okay, next item is item F1, public hearing on the urban water management plan. Mr. General Manager?
Yes, this item concerns the 2015 urban water management plan. And from Ludorf and Scalmanini, I have Justin Shelby here to make a presentation on this.
Thank you, Board. Thank you, John, for having me here. The purpose of this presentation is to go over the 2015 Urban Water Management Plan, which is a document that's required to be submitted to conform with state requirements. And in this presentation, I'll just provide an overview. The document was provided for public review for the last few weeks, so this will just be kind of a brief overview of what's contained in the urban plan to facilitate the public hearing. So again, the purpose is to do an overview of the urban plan, present required information that's required per California Water Code to be presented in a public hearing, and then also the purpose would be if there's no significant changes to the plan as a result of the hearing, to adopt the plan and move forward. So the topics are going to include an overview, discussion specifically of water use baseline and water use targets that are required components of the urban water plan, and a discussion on demand management measures, which is essentially conservation practices that would be representative of what the town pursues for conservation, and then what the next steps are for this particular document. So what is an urban water management plan? It's a state mandated water supply planning document. As defined in the Urban Water Management Plan Act. It's required by the Department of Water Resources to be prepared every 5 years for urban water suppliers that have more than 3,000 connections or serve more than 3,000 acre feet of water. And every 5 years, the state updates their guidelines for what is required in the Urban Water Management Plan. And what the overall purpose is to provide the state with some consistent format in which they're receiving water supply and water demand over a 20-plus year projection throughout the state so that the state can assess supplies and demands statewide. It's also used by agencies in terms of their own planning as well to assess conservation and efforts for water use projections as a result of conservation. Since 2010, urban plans have been a vehicle by the state in which to implement the Water Conservation Bill of 2009, which is SBX 7-7, which essentially is to achieve a 20% reduction per capita in water use by the year 2020. And essentially complying with this act is required if agencies want to be eligible for state loans and grants. That's one aspect of how the state would enforce urban water management. The 2010 Urban Water Management Plan was prepared and adopted by the town of Discovery Bay in 2016. So, like I said, the 2010 established a lot of baseline factors that are the same as what's in the 2015 the baseline water use and the target goals for 2020. The 2010 plan also included a requirement to define how the town would be pursuing demand management measures, and there were very specific requirements in the 2010 plan. In the 2015 plan, it's essentially an update to a lot of the factors that were put forth in the 2010 plan, but there were some changes. So in 2015, there was a requirement to conduct a water loss audit which is now something that's going to be required of agencies to conduct every year, separate from an urban water management plan. It's kind of a side note, but this is the first time that a water loss audit was required to be prepared by agencies. And the 2015 plan also had, they relaxed the requirements in terms of what they require agencies to say about conservation. So this 2015 plan allowed agencies to kind of describe conservation in a way that's more consistent and allowed agencies to have a little bit more liberty to describe what really reflects the current practices rather than being very specific. So essentially the document has these 10 chapters, and I don't necessarily need to go through all of these. I don't plan to go through all of these tonight. It is in the document for everybody to review. The key items that I'm going to discuss here are the baseline water use and the targets for water use to conform with the SBX 7-7 requirements, and just a quick overview of the demand management measures. But the plan also includes other discussions about water supply reliability and reliability in the Discovery Bay, is notably regarding groundwater, because that's Discovery Bay's sole source of supply is groundwater. And through the evaluations that Discovery Bay has embarked on with monitoring groundwater supplies, even through the drought, groundwater supplies have remained to be reliable for the town. And then there's also a requirement to discuss what would a water shortage contingency plan look like in a hypothetical scenario where there are physical constraints on the water supply to meet demand. So before I get into baseline water use, I just wanted to provide some context for the water use within Discovery Bay. Discovery Bay is essentially 99% single family. It's an urban community. There's some commercial, there's some irrigation, which really relates with green belts and parks. There's a certain amount of water losses. When you look at that on a pie chart like this, about 75% approximately water use is single family, residential, and about 10% irrigation. So irrigation is a fairly large component considering that there's 98% of the service connections are residential.
So how do you determine that irrigation? When you say irrigation, just give me what are you talking about there?
So public irrigation. So we're not talking about lawns and people's yards.
What about the golf course?
The golf course is a separate component.
Right.
I believe the golf course.
Oh, they pump their own water in. That's right.
Yeah.
So that's what the town basically uses.
Parks
and rec. That's what we use is that 10%.
Right.
Those
are meter connections. So
gotcha.
That's how we know how much water there is.
Let's meter those losses.
Go ahead.
So this is a historical look at annual water production. For the data record from 1986 through 2016, and historically, prior to 2010 was a year when the water master plan was prepared, which was the planning document that looked at water supply projections of growth and development of capital improvement items in order to meet the projected water demand. And prior to that time, the growth in terms of population and water production were fairly consistent. And then since that time, there were some changes that were occurring in water demand. And they coincided initially with the recession. And then in the last 3 years, there's been significantly lower water use within Discovery Bay, which coincided with the state's imposed water reductions, which have now been lifted, and the town now has a 20% voluntary reduction at this time. So that's just a historical context. And another historical context, there's monthly averages that the town has, and these are just kind of averages, where from 2007 to 2010, which were the historical high production years, there was some marginal decline in terms of the peak, which is during the hot season, June through August. And then from 2014 to 16, when California enacted the drought regulations, there was significant drop primarily in the peak. And that just is indicative of where the majority of the water savings does take place from irrigation during the summer months. So there was also a reduction in the base water use, which would be something considered during the wet months. So in terms of calculating the baseline, what's required in the urban water management plan is developing, just looking at the average per capita water use for a 10-year period. So that's what this table shows. That's what's in the urban water management plan. The per capita water use is an estimate of the service area population and annual gross water use for those years, and taking an average, and that's how DWR defines the base per capita water use. It was fairly consistent, so there wasn't too significant variation beyond the average 261 gallons per capita per day. There were some years that, you know, went up to 276, and the lowest per capita usage recorded was in this period was 2001, which essentially 261 is the average. Now there's a water use target that's required to be presented, and was presented in the 2010 plan, and again presented in this 2015 plan. And they provide, they allow different methodologies to calculate what that target is. The easiest, the simplest, is the 20% reduction of the baseline target, which is the one we chose to use, because in evaluating the other three methodologies, it results in even lower targets than 209. Essentially, the regional targets are lower than Discovery Bay's, and because Discovery Bay is primarily residential, the other methods aren't as applicable. So this is just a snapshot of the regional targets. The regional target is 174 for the San Joaquin River region that DWR defined, and the 2020 target for Discovery Bay is 209 gallons per capita per day. So looking at that projected annual in terms of carrying through just a basic projection to build out at those quantities, this graph just shows a comparison between what the projected population is to build out, which right here is shown as build out to 2020. It may be beyond that, but it's a factor that's calculated based on the known developments to take place within the town over the build out period. And the master plan had a projection that was looking at ensuring sufficient capacity is available in the wells and treatment plants to serve water to the town, and then the urban plan projection with a 20% reduction is shown on this graph as well. And the 20% target is really a target more than a projection, would be facilitated through conservation practices.
So question on the population. You expect it to go to just under 18,000 by 2020? Am I reading that?
Not necessarily by 2020, but by build-out. So right here, I'm just showing it to 2020. That's going to be, but that would be the population at build-out, depending on the actual rate of growth, which that rate of growth of the developments that have been planned, Discovery Bay West, Pages, the other developments, has been a moving target, I'll just say. So, but that would be representative of build-out. So it may not be necessarily 2020.
Justin, so we're at 13.5 basically right now in population. Yeah. And we're at 6,500 residents. The build-out, lots we have to build out still within Discovery Bay are about 800 lots. How is that going to increase our population by 5,000?
I think the build out is more. Well, okay, so 6,500 is what we're currently at.
Roughly.
Service connections.
Roughly.
Okay. So.
Somebody correct me if I'm off base.
Numbers, yeah.
Virgil.
You're over 1,500 right now, based on the U.S. Census.
15,000. Okay. Well, then that, because otherwise there was no way we're going to put 5,000 people in 800 homes.
So we track the growth in the system in terms of the master plan. We do it based on service connections. We don't do it based on population. The reason it's presented here in terms of population is to conform with the state requirements in the urban water management plan. But when we're looking at EDUs at growth, it's how much does a house use? How much does a connection use? Because that's what we need to plan for. And that's easier, that's actually easier to document than
as Dina will testify, it has numbers in it. I get all, I love numbers. Can you go back about three slides?
Yeah.
As long as we stop, okay, 209, go back one more slide. So that's a target, what does that mean? Does that mean that it's voluntary? Is that something that we're saying? Is that something the state's telling us we need to do?
The state is telling you to do a urban water management plan that meets state requirements. You'll put in a target that conforms with SBX 7-7.
Which is what they're telling us our target should be.
They're saying that's your target. They're not saying if you use more than that by 2020, you're penalized. Now, they could turn around and say, now you're not eligible for grants, potentially.
I'm with you, but that's their target. That's established. Now go to the next slide. Unfortunately, we find ourselves in the San Joaquin River Basin area, correct? Which is at 174, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
If we're allowed to be at 209 and we're in that basin, do they have to compensate for that to get to 174? We're screwing up. Even though we're a small area, we're kind of messing up their ability to get there, aren't we?
I would hope when they come up with this average, they've looked at the individual jurisdictions to say this is representative of the target. But this target was presented before the 2010 plans were developed. So I really think this is just what this is.
Well, it makes sense. They're having a lot more problems out there than we are in here.
Yeah.
Because of their aquifer and their ability to process water in the greater San Joaquin River Basin is much more drastic than what we are.
It's true. You have a different groundwater basin in the East Contra Costa County. Tom Elson from my firm has done a lot of work with Discovery Bay and the surrounding agencies in developing the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act to conform with that, and has been monitoring, you know, working with you guys for decades.
Okay.
And essentially, that there's been no indication that through pumping, through droughts, through growth, that there has not been a downward trend. There's been essentially every time there's growth in the area, there is some effect on groundwater, but it's an effect that's equalized.
There's no significant reduction within our aquifer.
Right. So you're in a totally different aquifer situation than on the other side of the delta or the other side of the river.
Tom, is it fair to say that these numbers are state aggregated numbers?
Absolutely.
There's also the East County Groundwater Management Agency that's looking at a more localized splitting itself off from Tracy and the other areas.
Yes.
In which case, we will get more localized numbers, because I think it's fair to say, correct me if I'm wrong, that we're drawing 100% out of groundwater here from our basin. Mm-hmm. And with the draw that's happened over the last couple of years, the level of that basin hasn't changed.
That's correct.
So we're not overdrafting the basin at this point.
That's correct.
So when we get back to looking at the state in terms of goals,
we're in an overdrafted basin.
We're not overdrafting as they are to the east of Highway 5.
That's a statement. I wouldn't disagree with that statement. So I would say that the purpose of today wasn't necessarily to talk about groundwater, but I think that at some point in the near future, there probably would be an appropriate time to have more of a specific discussion with regard to SGMA and the groundwater management activities that are taking place regionally.
Thank
you. Yeah. Okay, so just a discussion on, so that covers the projections, the targets, they're targets essentially in the urban water management. For that reflect a 20% reduction to conform with the state's mandate, essentially. So the other component that is in this plan that needs to be discussed is the demand management measures, which are essentially the conservation practices that the town is specifying. It reflects, is consistent with the town's practices. As discussed in this document. So in the 2010 plan, there was a requirement for 14 specific DMM categories. And the reason I'm just bringing that up is just to say that's one of the significant changes that are in the 2015 plan versus the 2010 plan. The requirement in 2010 was you need to have a description of how the agency is pursuing those, and those included not just metering and commodity rates, it also included rebate programs for toilets and washing machines, very specific things, and that if the agency wasn't going to have a plan regarding those type of programs, then it must be supported by a cost-benefit analysis. So it was pretty stringent and enforced agencies to explain why they're opting out of these types of programs. On the 2015 plan, those requirements were relaxed. So the explanation of conservation in this document, we worked with discovery-based staff to make sure that the language was consistent in terms of what's actually the current practice and what the future kind of thinking is in terms of conservation. So it's not something that you're it's not something you're bound to, I would say. It's just supposed to really reflect how the town looks at conservation right now at this moment. And those categories are water waste prevention ordinances, metering, conservation pricing, public education and outreach, programs to assess and manage distribution system losses, and having a water system, a water conservation program coordination and staffing. There's some other categories, which is where they lumped in. If you want to say something about rebate programs, if you want to say something about those specific categories, you can say so here, but it wasn't required. So that, I think that pretty much sums up the presentation. And like I said, the purpose today is to have this public hearing. And if the board wants to proceed with adopting this plan, that was also on the agenda for today. And then from that point, we would just submit this document to the state with the board's adoption resolution appended with it.
Thank you.
Yep.
At that point, then I will open it up to public comment. I have a public comment card, Mr. Helper.
I see that the notices and things are all being done according to the strict letter of the law, which are notices of when this is going to happen. This is a 174-page report. To try and read and understand what's in there to allow the Discovery Bay residents to make any comments at tonight, I think, was virtually impossible. I tried to read through it. There's a couple things that I see I think you may have a little problem with. One of them was the conservation pricing. If it's anything like, if you're talking about implementing a plan that says if for 100 units, it's $10 a unit, and if you go over to 150, it's going to be more money. I think that that's probably inappropriate pricing methodology based on San Joaquin or San Francisco court table. So there may be parts of this plan that appear to be illegal. And I think it needs to be looked at to make sure that you aren't getting into adopting things that you really can't enforce. The second thing I had a problem with was the penalties that you're allowing yourself to get. $25 for the usage up to $500, and then $500 on top of that. I think if the residents were more aware of what kind of powers you're giving yourself as a penalty, there would be more input, maybe from them. I think that there needs to be a little more time before this plan is adopted.
Thank you. Any other public comments? With that, then I'll close the public hearing.
Can't read your lips.
Move it back to the board. Any discussion? Questions?
I actually don't see any reason we couldn't wait a little longer. I don't know what the intent is to try to vote on it. I'm sure it is. Do we have any time limit that's pressing us?
No specific time limit. This was due in 2015.
Okay. So we're 2016.
So that was one of the questions I was going to bring up to you, Justin. I apologize if I may. We were very late with the last one.
Right.
And the state accepted it 5 years late. Right?
Yeah.
So where are we on this one, and what kind of penalty might we incur?
There's no penalty. The only penalty for not doing one again is that you're not eligible for state grants or loans. The 2010 plan was came up with LAFCO when there was a service area boundary adjustment for and water supply verification was required, which essentially is demonstration that you've done an urban water management. So that was prepared late. And we talked to the state about that very question, feeling like, well, this might be a problem if we want to submit a 2010 plan in 2015 that was adopted eventually in 2016. And the state said, please do. We encourage it. So there's not very many agencies that haven't submitted plans. And they encourage it. They know there's not much teeth in the law in terms of preventing it, but they certainly want every agency to look at water supply through this lens. And like I said, it's so this plan is also late because we were basically finishing the 2010 plan in 2015 and up to 2016, and there was other things that needed to be taken care of.
No accusations meant there. I'm just saying that we probably don't want to kick this can down the road too far.
Okay, well, it's already late, so spending a little bit more time to make sure that the language in there is reflective of what the town wants to put in a public document, I think.
Well, from a legal standpoint, before you guys put this plan together and submit it to us, you run it through your legal department and make sure that everything in there is actually legal? Is that true? Or do you not do that?
I wouldn't say we have a legal department. I would say that it's a technical engineering document that requires that we conform with the requirements of an urban water management plan. So we start to verify. So we actually worked with the state before providing this draft. We sent it to the state to say, look, we want to adopt a document. We don't want you to turn around and say it doesn't conform with the requirements. They did a preliminary review and said, well, there's a few items in there. They were very minor. But there's already basically been some level of review at the state,
okay,
so that we know that what's being presented here conforms to policy.
Okay, thank you.
And Justin, is it fair to say that the items that are included there, like conservation pricing and so forth, those are in there as tools that we have, not necessarily a commitment to implement each and every one of those items? That will happen during the course of business as we adopt rates and do rate studies and look at conservation requirements by the state and so forth in the future.
Yeah, it specifically says that I was just looking up that section just to make sure there wasn't. We specifically relaxed the language to put in this document that's conservation pricing is something that's under consideration that would require putting in the meters first and then looking at the rate structure and seeing the most appropriate rate. So what we say here is the TODB will review the rate base and will implement a conservation pricing element after the meter retrofit program. It is unknown if the commodity rate structure will be a uniform rate or a tiered rate structure. So it wasn't too specific, I would say.
So it's a matter to be determined in the future.
To be determined, I would say, right. Yeah, I mean, essentially once you have meters, you'll have some volumetric billing system, and the question is, what will that be?
And then we'll have accurate data on.
We're just adopting a policy to be able to do that, not exactly what that is at this point.
Right. But there's certainly a time.
Correct me if I'm wrong. We're not adopting a policy to be able to do that. This is a plan that we're telling the state of something that we would consider in an emergency, that would be on the plate of options that we might consider. Isn't that correct?
There was something to that regard also in terms of the water shortage policy. We had that kind of discussion. In an emergency, we would consider the type of tools that the town might use if there were a water shortage emergency, and some of it had to do with pricing. None of it was written in here saying this is what we will do. It's saying these are the tools we would consider in the event of having some sort of crisis.
Chime in just real quick if I can. As to the legality of the document, I think Justin is correct that this is a technical document. The goal here, the thought here from the state was very much like SGMA, very much like some of these other water reporting requirements that you have out there, is to gather all the information so they could better adjust the basins and and that. So the documents that's before you are, like I think was already said, are tools, are options. You have a fee structure, you have a rate structure, you have a penalty structure that you've already adopted and has been in place for years. And you've modified it with your new metered program and got away from the tiered approach and all of that. So this document is the technical document that provides the technical information to the state. It's not a policy document in that sense.
So this is more analogous to the state controller report document that the town has to file its financial reports so that the state can consolidate that with everyone.
That's a good comparison. I think there might be a nuance there, but for purposes of, it's like your financial audit document. You don't do it, it's a technical document. You've got all these policies and procedures in place that you already have to make sure that you're financially stable, but you go every year as you're required to and get an audit, and that's a technical document that you're otherwise submitting for purposes of qualifying as a public agency. So to Mr. Helfert's question, it's not that kind of document that you're adopting new policies or you're giving yourself some additional authority.
Move to adopt resolution 2017-11.
There a second?
Second.
Any other further board discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Yes. Moving on to item two, adoption of the operating budget, capital budget.
I'm going to invite Dina up to introduce this item.
Sweet. And the reason being is because on May 24, we did an extensive review of the budget, page by page, line by line. And then when I presented the budget on June 7th, I made all the changes necessary that were requested. I asked the board to review the document and let me know if there are any changes or things that you needed to add or review. I did not hear from any board members, and so I would like to request that you move to adopt the budget for fiscal year 17-18. We will be adopting only 1 year, even though we do a 2-year budget and a 5-year capital plan.
So the approval tonight would be for fiscal year 17-18.
That is correct. That is correct.
Open up the public. Open up a public comment and open up the public hearing with regard to the operating budget. And I have one request to speak, Mr. Helfert.
Sort of the same issue as the water meter or the water plan. Again, for the public, it's still a 74-page document, I think. Quite extensive. I'm a certified public accountant. I tried to read it today. I couldn't really make a lot of heads or tails out of it in the limited time where it's available. So again, if you're asking for open for public hearing, it's kind of worthless because there's no way to get ready for this in time for you to get any meaningful.
Mr. Helfer, if we had an open budget workshop that the public was invited to 3-4 weeks ago, and anybody in the public could have come to that, then that was the initial, but this isn't just being thrown out tonight for the first time. And then we had a complete review of this budget again, line by line, last meeting. So this is really at least the third or fourth time around. So
I apologize.
And the materials have been out since Friday.
I'm sorry?
I said that it's my fault for not attending.
Well, I don't think
we're not blaming you. I'm just letting you know that I want to make sure it's clear that we are transparent. That's all I'm trying to say.
You're transparent to the letter of the law. I don't think you're as transparent as you could be to the residents of Discovery Bay. And I think that goes all the way back to the water meter program. By the letter of the law, you have the public hearing. Have your notices, you put all this out.
I don't believe the water meter program is part of this agenda item, so let's stay off that.
Well, you asked about transparency, so.
Any comments regarding the budget?
Well, it sounds like you've already done, one of my requests was that you have a full and complete presentation of the report by the finance manager. Apparently you've already done that.
So yes, I will sit down and be quiet.
Thank you, sir.
Any other comment on, with regard to the public hearing? Hearing none, I will close the public hearing and bring it back to the board for discussion.
Move to adopt resolution 2017-12.
There is a second. Further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. Motion carried, resolution is adopted. Let's see, item number three, Mr. General Manager, regarding transit occupancy tax.
Yes, this matter was initially brought to the attention of staff by Carolyn Graham, president of the Discovery Bay Chamber of Commerce. Her question was, are taxes collected on short-term rental homes in Discovery Bay? And if so, how can the chamber get a fair share? Good question. And I would add, how would such tax money be reinvested back in our community in general? Staff conducted some preliminary research and found that the county does have a transient occupancy tax of 10% that is being collected on major hotels. In their ordinance, the definition of a hotel would appear to include homes in Discovery Bay. Further research tends to indicate that the tax is not being collected by such websites as Airbnb, which has a listing of about 70 Discovery Bay homes for short-term rent, with prices ranging from $50 a night for a bedroom to $900 a night for a house. Staff contacted Supervisor Burgess's office for assistance in exploring this matter further. We were told that a formal request was needed from our board. Your vote would authorize the president to sign a letter to Supervisor Burgess requesting further information and assistance regarding the transient occupancy tax. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Just to add on, I've met with the chamber president and heard this discussion. And you know, whether it goes to Supervisor Burgess or the tax collector or whoever, if there's resources out there that could be brought to bear to assist the town of Discovery Bay, I think we should make every effort to see that those resources are brought to the town.
Are these return to source taxes? Are they required to be return to source?
No. It goes into their general fund for their discretionary spending.
Gotcha.
Some towns and counties do distribute it back to others, to the city or to the chamber of commerce or others. They make other arrangements. Contra Costa County has not. But what we're trying to figure out now is, what are we talking about? Dollars. Any public comment or questions? Any board discussion?
Move to authorize.
So,
I'm sorry, quicker
than me. This is only an inquiry. That's all we're asking for right now.
We want to know, how's it working? Is it working? If you're not collecting it, why aren't you collecting it? If you are collecting it, how much are you collecting? Okay. And then how do we engage in the process for returning it as a reinvestment in our own community?
Okay,
clear. I would move to authorize the president to move forward with a letter asking exactly those questions. Asking at least those questions.
We'll think of one. We have a motion and a second. Any other further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion passed. We have no informational items. Manager's report.
We have Brian that's going to give you a report on the
PAPA.
It's up there.
It's up there.
Yeah. Oh no, Justin stole it.
Justin.
There's no value in that remote, Justin, just so you know.
December of 2015, we had a Discovery Bay experienced a PG&E gas outage during the cold months, and consequently, PG&E used our community center for command center. And during the outage, it took anywhere from 3 to 7 days to restore all the gas service to all the residences here. And at the time, Rick was the manager of the town. He and I we negotiated with PG&E on a couple of grants. along with a $5,000 grant to the community center, where SMAC is working with purchasing furniture for the pool area. And the other one was a $17,000 grant to purchase a new play structure for the Roberta Plus Hot Lot located on Clipper Drive. And we finished the project about a week ago, so I thought I'd come in and see what we've done. With the $17,000 grant, we were able to purchase the new play structure along with a couple of our spring toys for the top lots. And we used additional funding from our PG&E money that we took in wastewater when they did their pipeline construction. All this money was paid for, all this work was paid for by PG&E. It was completed earlier than expected, and it was on budget. And it was, we were going to open it up on a Monday, and the town opened it up on a Saturday. And people were so excited to get in there and start using it that they got ahead of us, but that's okay. This is a look of it. It was, I believe the original structure was about 30 years old. It was very sunburned, very worn out. And it took a little work of PG&E to get this project going, but the cooperation really helped with us, and they came through with the grant money as expected. So we're very thankful for the project.
Not spending much time in top lots anymore. I'm assuming that this is pretty dramatic change from what it was. I mean, it looks great now. Very dramatic.
Yeah, if you notice, I think even on next door, there were some complaints on not going out to the play area that got me. And, you know, I agree with them 100% or something.
Looks great.
Yeah, and it's very nice for the younger kids. It's mainly for younger kids, so it costs. The other parks have a lot of structures for those years. It turned out really nice. Yeah. We're very thankful to PG&E.
Perfect. Thank you, Brian. Mm-hmm. General Manager's report.
Yes, thank you. Just wanted to let you know that our annual water quality pamphlet has gone out, and I know that people have received it in the mail in the last week or two. Those who haven't, it should be coming shortly.
Correspondence received. Let's see. Phil, do you want to say anything on the correspondence?
Stationary electronic sign that we projected an $80,000 cost for. We spent up to $80,000 on it. I actually talked to a few people. Some people are. Some people isn't in favor of it. I think if you have $80,000 that you can spend on that, it's possible that you put that same $80,000 in the water meter to save our residents a little bit of cost on their meter installation.
Thank you. Do we have any future agenda items? Council? No session?
Oh, thank you. Sorry. I have nothing. The Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors will adjourn in a closed session per the items listed on the agenda as N1. We are actually removing N2. So N2 is not on the agenda any longer, just under N1.
Okay.